Republican refuses Lieberman's request to drag on Senate debate. Lieberman, the look on his... Really? Don't you know who I am? I'll hold a pissy little grudge against you if you don't let me speak some more. I'm Joe Lieberman. I'm above the president. I'm higher than everyone else in the country. I'm Joe Lieberman, damn it. But he had to sit down. And he got a little dose of his own medicine. And yeah, that was refreshing. But remember, it's only political theater. It is not substantive. We will have... Now, I'll keep an eye over my shoulder here on what's going on in the Senate so that we can hear Harry Reid when he oozes up to the podium to make his request. He's apparently going to ask that the Senate recess until midnight. Because, you see, they're trying to get all this done before Christmas. They're trying to get the health care thing, whatever this thing is now, take it done by Christmas. So that I suppose then it can go to conference committee and we shall see what we shall see with regard to the makeup of that conference committee. You know, let me just suggest to you that there was a way to... It was very, very important when Bernie Sanders introduced, for the first time in the history of the Senate, an amendment that would have afforded universal single-payer health care coverage to all Americans. That was a historic moment that the Republican Party took away. They took it away. They took it away from you. They took it away from me. They took it away from a nearly 3-year-old and a nearly 2-year-old that are playing in my living room right now. They took it away. They wouldn't allow it to even be mentioned because it is so potent, because it is so right. It is so obviously the thing that needs to be done for this country that, like some sort of demonic presences who cannot hear the name of Jesus Christ, the Republican Party would not allow it to be mentioned. Because they knew that time was short, and they knew that there is a schedule here, and they knew that 10 hours of reading 800 pages would throw that schedule into chaos. We know they know because a couple of right-wing Republican senators were boldly and proudly tweeting about it. If Harry Reid won't slow this process down, we'll slow it down for him. Yeah, no kidding. If we had, and I recognize that this is a monumental if we had real leadership in the United States Senate, there would be an obvious answer. Anyone who has ever sat down at a card table knows that what you do is occasionally you call the other side's bluff. Because as between the Republicans and the Democrats, the ones who love most to do nothing but draw their breath and their pay, the Republicans have that pretty well down to a science, and they have no interest in working up to Christmas. Their only purpose is to once and for all eliminate any possibility of health care reform. A zero-sum game. And to that extent, I wonder if maybe Paul Krugman is correct that this something ought to be passed. And that's the only reason. because the health insurance industry that owns the Republican minority in the Senate and some of the Democratic majority would love nothing more than for this attempt to fail again. Failed in 1994, failed in 2009, 15 long years between attempts. So it does give pause for reflection, and we can certainly discuss the rightness or wrongness of that position. But there is a way of dealing with that. If you have a majority leader with a spine and a willingness to call bluffs. You see, Harry Reid is afraid of chinless Mitch McConnell. Harry Reid is my majority leader of the Senate, and he fills that position from a position of fear. He is afraid of the other side. Because he's never punched him back. He has never felt the empowering moment when you realize that the other side in all of its bluster is nothing but hot air. It would not have been a challenge. And you would have seen them fold like a house of cards if Harry Reid had simply come to the podium and said, fine, let the clerk begin reading the bill. Here's what we're going to do. We're canceling Christmas for the Senate. We're going to work through Christmas. We're going to work through New Year's. We're going to work 7 days a week. You too, Holy Joe! And we're going to get this done. Because it is not too much in the name of the people of the United States of America to ask that we work tirelessly for the monumental salaries we all are paid on this issue upon which hinges the very future well-being of those alive now and those as yet undreamt, unborn and undreamt of. It is not too much to ask. So begin the reading. Call your wives and husbands. Tell them you won't be home for Christmas. Because the Senate of the United States has the people's business to do. And it will not wait. At that point in time, that dirty little shit-eater, Tom Coburn, would have withdrawn his objection. Senator Sanders' amendment would have been entered in the record. And though it would have lost, there would have been a vote. And we would have been able to separate the sheep from the wolves for the first time ever. But we can't have that. Because I suppose we simply do not deserve it. Because we do not matter. That is where we find our things. Ourselves. That's the thing where we find ourselves. So we'll take a little break, and you're welcome to chime in. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, it's 304-658-3333. And you can get in on this conversation. I'm more than willing to be wrong. You know me, I don't claim to have some sort of lock on being right about things. But I just have a sense, having dealt with a few bullies and a few sandlots in my day, I have a sense that if we ever do start treating the Republican minority like the bullies that they are, we will see them become a vastly different and more docile minority. At least I think. So dial in, email Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D at gmail.com. You can do that, too. Or maybe you'd like to try the chat room out for a change. You're welcome to do that as well. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Hey, this one goes out to Holy Joe Lieberman.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man, behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance. That's never free. No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do. And I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their end.
That's one of those long-distance dedications that sort of makes itself. Did you ever hear lyrics more appropriate to My Love is Vengeance? That's all Joe Lieberman is about. Now, granted, there is an essay out there, and I think it was our good friend the Cossack who sent it along, by Jane Hampshire, in which she notes that Joe is the best thing that ever happened to Harry Reid and Barack Obama, because he's doing the dirty work that they aren't willing to do in keeping out a public option or a Medicare buy-in. And it's worth a read. I'll see if I can't get the link out there or some such. Email in from our buddy Marty. He says, by the way, yeah, if Ben Nelson gets his way, all the little girls and teens in the U.S. will have a few fewer rights. You know the rights I mean. Yeah, because Ben keeps working tirelessly, relentlessly, to include the STUPAC language in what the Senate is doing. Ben, who, by the way, at least according to the myth that has been made up by the wingnuts, has been threatened with the closure of Offutt Air Base in southeastern Nebraska if he doesn't get in line and go along with health care reform. The only problem is Ben Nelson himself, and, you know, there's little more to Ben Nelson than the bad rug that he is. Ben Nelson admits that it ain't true. You know how it goes. Let's see what's cooking here on the phone lines. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Joe Lieberman, he's a piece of work, ain't he?
He's a piece of something.
Yeah, he's a piece of what he does to piles on every American every day. I swear, it just never ends with him. I mean, you know, and it's just like, and Think Progress, I checked the video, they have a little added note. Oh, by the way, Franken was just following Reed's rules. Reed instituted, said, to get this going, we instituted a hard, you know, making it a hard rule to follow the 10 minutes and no extension.
I know. Hey, Garrett, stand by a minute, okay? Your senator has come to the floor. Let's see what he has to say.
Oh, God.
Before we proceed to the vote, I'd just like to make a parliamentary inquiry. I believe it is the case.
This is Chinless Mitch.
A simple motion to recess,
yeah, no, Mitch the Turtle Man,
or adjourn, is not amendable. Is that correct?
The Republican leader is correct.
Further inquiry, I also believe that a motion to recess or adjourn to a time certain is amendable with time changes.
The Republican leader is correct.
I'll not offer an amendment to change the time to convene the later tomorrow, but just so everybody will know with regard to their own personal schedules, this vote could occur at any time tomorrow. It wouldn't have to be at 1 a.m. The majority leader has the discretion to do that. We're, of course, prepared to talk around the clock and happy to have the vote at 1 o'clock, but I just want everybody to understand that it's my understanding that the majority leader does have the ability to set the vote later than 1 a.m.
Mr. President.
Majority Leader.
I ask for the yeas and nays on my motion.
Is there a sufficient second? There appears to be a sufficient second. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Akaka.
Okay, so it's Mouse Katir roll call time now, Garrett. It's pitiable watching this kind of thing, isn't it?
It's just completely sad. I mean, and the best part is that Reed's political allies, at least, you know, they've been inserting ads, you know, as the cable. On the cable during like Countdown and Maddow saying about how strong he is and how much of a fighter he is and, you know, playing the sympathy card by, he even had a car bomb put in his car by them evil, nasty mobsters back in the day, and he still was fighting.
You mean it wasn't Al-Qaeda?
It was back in, like, the 70s.
Oh, well, that's probably still Al-Qaeda. You know, we make it up as we go along, whatever.
Yeah, but, yeah, and it's like, the man, it's such a load of bull. The man has no spine. I mean, we always talk about, you know, like, guys like Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson would have kicked Lieberman would be, even though, yes, with they need Lieberman to get practically anything passed because, you know, they won't do the nuclear option, which they could do. I mean, it used to be 67 to get filibuster proof, and now it's 60. You think they can reduce it anymore?
don't know why not.
No, because Reed has no spine. And, I mean, he is going to lose. And it's going to be to some one of these generic Republicans that rises up.
Well, that's one of the things in the Jane Hampshire piece, and I've got to find it here during a break or something. Jane Hampshire, it's one of the things that she mentioned is that, and you've mentioned the same thing, Garrett, Harry Reid trails any Republican with a pulse in the state of Nevada by 13 points right now.
And it's a feeding frenzy, as I told, however long ago, as I communicated to you, there's a feeding frenzy. There is a literal feeding frenzy. But, I mean, the only reason that Reid doesn't have a primary challenger, again, is because Reid is because he is the majority leader and he has power in the what passes for the Democratic Party in the state.
Well, I wonder if maybe his strategy isn't, you know, with all those potential challengers, to hope that they will tear each other to pieces so that he will eke out, you know, some sort of a, if not a clear majority, at least enough of a plurality, and, you know, one of them will go off and run on the birther party ticket, something like that.
Yeah, but the thing is that because frickin' Oscar Goodman, our wonderful mayor down here in, well, main part of Las Vegas, not North Town like I'm in, you know, people still wonder if he's going to, you know, finally throw his hat into either the governor's race or Senate. You know, he keeps saying, you know, the greatest job in the world and ha, 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 I don't need anything better than this. But, you know, someday he's going to.
You know, this is one of the curses of being radio, Garrett. As you're talking about Reid, I can't help but see here Joe Lieberman. And, you know, this is the roll call vote, Mr. Akaka, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And all the senators just sort of mill around the floor, right? I mean, we've seen it a million times.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Well, this evening, I can't help noticing that Holy Joe keeps wandering up to little clusters of senators with this big grin like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush on his face. And he goes up and he hugs and he squeezes their little shoulders and he's grinning and he's shaking their hand. And then the little cluster just disappears and Joe finds himself alone again. A few minutes ago he walked up to the clerk's table or whatever. And just kind of rapped it with his knuckles on the countertop and gave a thumbs up sign to some functionary back there who's like tallying votes or something. It's really pitiful.
Do I see him sitting down talking to McCain right now? I think
he finally gave up and went and he's sitting over there and glad handing with McCain.
Yeah.
Or hand jobbing or whatever it is they do.
Yeah, I can, you know, his right hand there is kind of looks like it's a little bit.
Is that on the, is Lieberman's right hand on the desk or is it on McCain's knee? I can't tell.
Yeah, that's what he was just saying. Look at it. It's like, oh my God.
Oh God, this is like baseball play-by-play and they're up and McCain's trying to get away from him. Lieberman follows for a minute, then splits away and goes to glad hand a page. This is hilarious.
Give me a napkin.
Yeah, he's in the far corner of the room now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing some bad radio here, Garrett. We're watching TV and offering play-by-play on slow-moving senators. It's not that slow a night on the horn, is it?
But it's because these clowns are slowing it down. They want to. I mean, because you know it was a designed tactic to keep that amendment by Senator Sanders out of getting voted, because guess what? That would be our roadmap to who we need to get the crap out of the Senate pronto. I mean, it'd be the roadmap, and they know it.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, it's one thing to do insurance reform on a federal basis, which a lot of this is,
Mm-hmm.
But actual health care coverage for the American people is another creature entirely, and should be handled as such at this point.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is, Garrett, there's a lot of people in this country who, even if we had a public option or a Medicare buy-in, there's a lot of people in this country who would still be at the tender mercies of the profit-driven agony, illness, misery, and death industry, namely health care. Health insurance. And the fact of the matter is that industry does desperately need reform. But frankly, if we are to consider what priorities ought to be, then I would think that the 45,000 people who will die between now and December the 17th, 2010, they come first. Then the other, 39,960,000 Americans who will continue to go without health care insurance, they come next. Look at it as a Titanic analogy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We have to patch the hole in the ship first. And that's the 45,000 Americans that die every year.
Yeah.
Then we have to pump out the water in the bilges so that the ship will be seaworthy again. And that's the millions and millions of uninsured Americans. After that, we can start polishing the silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But these guys want to polish the silver first.
Which is, of course.
And, you know, the band plays Waltzing Matilda or something. I don't know.
Because the polishing the silver looks prettier, because silver is pretty.
Even as it is sinking beneath the wave, yes.
Yes. Because, I mean, there are people like me, you know, I haven't had a flipping raise at my crummy job for 2 years. I have, you know, health care through said crappy job, but I don't make enough to a year to where I could, you know, like, go to the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that nobody ever mentions it, but there are a lot of people like me who are in that boat that just can't go.
And the thing is, even if you're in a job where you... and this is, you know, just the state of affairs that it is. If you're in a job where you have health care and you're actually bought into it, don't ever quit that job. Don't ever lose that job. Because if you do, and anything has happened to you between the time that you picked up the health care coverage and the time that you lost the job and the time that you pick up the next job, congratulations, you've got a pre-existing condition, and they're not going to cover it, and you're flapping in the breeze.
Precisely. And I'm sure that if I was to be insane enough to read through the fine print, just the idea scares me. There's probably something in there that would screw me over anyway.
Well, there's a lot of landmines.
Especially since, you know, for my lovely employer, I have certain. Those lovely people at Target, they use United Healthcare. First time I saw that after they switched over to them, I just like, ugh. First time I got a notification letter and it said United Healthcare, that's the sound I made.
Yep, exactly. Well, Garrett, good talking to you, brother, and hang in there. Keep us posted Is there any Democrat? I'm just curious. Is there any Democrat out there interested in challenging Harry Reid?
I thought there might be, but there has not been a single whiff. There's as far as I know, there is not going to be a primary challenger because it's almost January, and I don't see any sign. I mean,
Does the Democratic Party in Nevada actually think he's a dang fine senator?
I guess so. The Democratic Party in this state is kind of wimpy, truth be told.
Mm-hmm. Careful, I'm about to make Joe Lieberman noises. Take it easy, Garrett. We'll talk soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Later, Tom.
Later. Bye now. And we roll onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan, what's up? I should ask.
Well, let's see. Did you see Keith Olbermann's special comment?
Which one?
The one last night.
That would be negative. I had my Lottie and I were up to our elbows in computer innards, software speaking.
Okay. I'll post it, but I'll give you the gist. He holds with basically with I just went blank on his name. The former Democratic Party, Howard Dean.
Yeah, Howard.
In fact, he came right out on television, no less. And he said, I'm self-insured. Guys, this individual mandate, forget it. You can find me. You can throw my butt in jail. I ain't paying it. I can afford to pay it. I'm not paying it because it's not reform.
Exactly.
I called my both senators and I told them, kill the bill.
That would be Merkley and
Biden. Biden.
Wyden. Yeah, Wyden. Sorry, it wasn't coming to me either. And I think there are a lot of people feeling that way. But the question, and I'm sorry to be so wishy-washy. I'm not trying to be. The question is, when do we do this again?
No, I don't.
Susan, do we ever get a different result from this?
Oh yeah, I realize that. I don't mean kill it. I mean kill it. Use the House bill to go to reconciliation. Kill the Senate version. Because that Senate version is a horror. Among other things, Ben Nelson is using it to circumvent Roe. That number they use for they keep coming up with that 30 million people covered.
Yeah.
According to the plumb line, that 30 million that's the number of people who will be mandated. In other words, pay up. Or we fine you. Never mind whether or not the coverage is worth a damn. Because it won't be. Because among other things, they're allowing these insurance companies to sell across state lines. But they're also removing all the regulations.
And see, that's one of the fundamental problems here, is that insurance is largely regulated as a function of
the state.
Of the state's insurance commissions. And, of course, the state insurance commissions are almost exclusively comprised of the former insurance industry hacks and flaxons.
Yeah. Okay, so what that means is you're going to have the health insurance version of the credit card industry, which just came out with a credit card with 79% interest rate.
Dear Jesus, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
79% interest?
Yep.
Who issued it?
Damn, I don't know. It was on. I'd have to pull up. I'm going to have to dig up the. Dig it up, but it was. Most incredible thing I'd ever seen. 79%. I saw it on the web today.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and by the way, Obama has lost at least one major union. The SEIU says change the bill or don't count on us.
Well, one of the things that I did notice in some of the coverage today is that a lot of a lot of unions and activist groups have backed off, saying that have backed off of their calls to you know to fix it or get rid of it. So you know, good on the SEIU.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, if it was killed, as you note, what would happen? What would happen when the Senate had to take up the House bill? They'd just kill it.
No, reconciliation, 51 votes. That's the nice thing. The problem with reconciliation is, of course, you can only include little goodies that have to do with money. So they would have to split the bill.
And somewhere along, I'm sorry, I've lost all faith in the process. Somewhere along the way, it would get killed, and it'd be another, and it'll be another 15. It'll be another 15 years before anything similar is considered. And 15 years from now, or 20, or 30, or whenever they do it, the outcome's not going to be any different.
Well,
and maybe this is leading to a larger sort of audio essay on what it means to live in a failed state. We are getting perilously close, Susan, to being a failed state.
I agree.
Now the other side of this coin, and let me just lay this out for you, for the sake of discussion. John Podesta posted his arguments in favor of the Senate bill, and his top 10 reasons for why. And you know, I mean, he's got some. He says. Well, here's the 10 reasons. One, largest expansion of coverage since Medicare's creation. 31 million previously uninsured Americans will have insurance. You've already dealt with that. Two, low-middle-income Americans will not go without coverage. For low-income Americans struggling near the poverty line, the bill represents the largest single expansion of Medicaid since its inception. Three, insurance companies will never be able to drop or deny you coverage because you are sick. Four, it lowers...
I don't
trust them. You know, saying that it eliminates the pre-existing condition argument. You know, for every lawyer working on this bill, the insurance industry has 1,000 working on loopholes. It's mm-hmm. just the nature of the beast. As long as for-profit or avarice-driven health insurance exists, we are at their tender mercies. Four, lowers premiums for families. The Senate bill could lower premiums for overall population by 8.4%. Five, invests in keeping people healthy. It creates a prevention and public health fund to expand and sustain funding for public prevention programs that prevent disease and promote wellness. Six, insurers can't offer subprime health care. Seven, it helps businesses afford coverage. Eight, it improves Medicare by eliminating fraud and waste. Nine, it reduces the deficit. And ten, it reduces national health care spending.
And another thing it does is it allows the health insurance companies to charge somebody with pre-existing conditions whatever they want. They can't deny you, but sure. No, they can't. They can charge you up the yin-yang for it. There is no lifetime cap. However, there is a yearly cap. God, you gotta love these people.
Like I said, for every lawyer working on our side, there's 1,000 working inside the healthcare industry.
Yep.
As long as the profit-driven healthcare insurance industry exists, we are screwed.
Yep. There is a way to introduce competition. It would take a separate bill. I don't know if you could do it under reconciliation or not. Might be worthwhile to check into it. One sentence. Remove, or I should say, repeal the act that grants the health insurance industry its antitrust exemption.
Right. And let's do baseball while we're at it.
And then say, okay, guys, Eric Holder's waiting in the wings. And we bust these companies up. And while we're at it, do it to Wall Street, too.
Why not?
Yeah. And for that matter, if we're going to, there's supposedly a motion in Congress to return Glass-Steagall, which I'm not going to hold my breath. If we're going to go back in history, fine, let's go back in history to the Roosevelt era and do what he did to finance the New Deal. He slapped a tax on Wall Street. Let's slap a 10 to 20 cent tax on every transaction on Wall Street. Not percentage, cents.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's like, you know, everybody has property taxes, or just about in every state, I think. You know, on your car, your boat, you know, whatever. My boat. Huh?
You and me both.
But you know what we don't have a tax, on as personal property? Why don't we tax stock portfolios?
Yeah.
But that's just you know, that's just crazy.
Just, okay, don't tax don't tax the actual portfolio. Make it a transaction fee.
Yeah.
10 to 20 cents per transaction. Transaction fee. Bam. Do you know how much money that's going to generate?
Quite a chunk of change.
Trillions.
But again, that's a group that is sacrosanct, and it would make people not want to invest in the market. Bull.
Oh, horse hockey.
Yeah, like.
And
like,
I got it.
Well, look, the people who go and play in Vegas are paying for the monumental hotels they're rolling the dice in. It's in it, and it's and believe me, it's calculated down to the micro penny in every roll. In every deal, in every shuffle, in every spin.
And I gotta say, I am really ticked. During the campaign, you heard all of these wonderful promises about what Obama wanted to do. I'm not seeing any leadership on this. He's sitting there in the White House and doing nothing. There's no leadership. Now, I'm not talking about him at the war, any of that. I never expected him to be a liberal. He's not, never has been.
Nope.
But I do expect him to live up to his campaign promise. And one of the things he was campaigning on was health care, was eliminating the tax havens in the Caymans. Well, that hasn't happened, has it?
No.
There's no leadership coming out of this White House. He's been a total...
failure?
As far as I'm concerned, he's a nothing. There's no leadership. As far as I'm concerned, he's a one-term president. I won't be.
Well, it's.
He's not been there for me. I'm not going to be there for him.
Well, it just feels a little. I'm not declaring that I want him to lose in 2012. He's just acting like it.
Yeah. He's acting like he's just not there.
You know, Bart Kopp keeps saying, "I wish he'd come to work." And I don't think that's an unfair assessment.
I don't either. I'm not going to be there for him. I'm not going to vote for a Republican, but I'm certainly not going to vote for him. I just won't vote for a Democrat. And, you know, your previous caller, you were talking about the majority leader.
Mm-hmm.
Harry better not count on that too much. Remember what happened to Tom Foley when he was majority leader.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he was Speaker of the House.
Remember what got done? Yeah, remember what got done to Tom Daschle?
Yeah.
Yep. Susan, I'm going to roll on. We're at the top of the hour, but thank you very kindly. And
got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Do you like peach tea?
Peach tea? Don't know as I've ever had it. Mostly when I do tea, I'm drinking my decaffeinated Constant Comment or my decaffeinated, I'm going to get more decaf email, and my decaffeinated Earl Grey, you know, me and Captain Picard.
Yes.
So.
Oh, and by the way, Move On has hit the $1 million mark in the last, I think it's 2 or 3 days. For its anti-Lieberman campaign.
I've been following that, but what are they going to do with it? He's not expected to run in 12.
Oh, I think he's going to run all right. He's going to run as a Republican.
No, he's not going to run at all. He's going to cash the check. There's nothing to suggest. No, I don't know anybody who seriously expects him to run for re-election. He's going to cash the check. He and Hadassah are going to go over and take their little check from the health insurance industry and live larger than they have ever lived before in their lives.
Oh, did you hear that one of the things he wanted before he would consider voting for this bill was that he wanted the left to lay off Hadassah?
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah.
What, lay off Hadassah for being on the tit?
Yeah, for being an unregistered lobbyist.
Okay, we'll lay off of her. Let's let the... I tell you what, we'll lay off of her if the U.S. attorney will lay on her.
I'll treat to that.
Here, here. Susan, take care, dear.
You too, Los Angeles.
All right, thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
News Ninja Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. And if you're on hold, please stay that way. We'll take a little break. Tuesday I didn't get a chance to get the green news in, and I hate it when I don't do that. But, it's Thursday, so that means we've got a green news report from Brad and Desi, and I always want to hear those things. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. BobKincaid@gmail.com is the email address if you want to get involved with the show that way. Got a song in here that has just been sent along by John Fox from see, there it is. Yeah, Jean-Luc Picard's Earl Grey always had caffeine. I am such a wimp. Thanks, Marty. Anyway, John Fox sent this song in. It is it's an old, early live song by Tool. Tool being just in a category all of their own. It's called Jerk Off. The Green News Report is on the way. Enjoy. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be back.
Horizon wrong on Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org. 854-2182.
It's Thursday, December 17, 2009.
Copenhagen conference stalled in the last days.
It appears that we are waiting for some senators in the U.S. Congress to conclude before we can consider this issue properly.
But is it really?
Hold tight and mind the doors. The cable car is moving again.
Plus, are they fake or real? Christmas trees, that is, and which ones are greener?
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Prepare for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
When the teabaggers find out that Obama is acting all Al Gore-like up there in Copenhagen, they're going to say that it's more of his socialist agenda and that he's taking his marching orders from Sweden because they don't know that Copenhagen is in Denmark.
You tell him, Bill Maher. This is your Green News Report. The Green News Report is brought to you by VelvetRevolution.us, now offering a $200,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of U.S. Chamber of Commerce CEO Tom Donahue for fraud and other crimes. Help VR push back against dozens of death threats. Yes, death threats that we've received from Fox News fans and chamber members since the campaign began. Sign on to show your support for the good guys at StopTheChamber.com. That's StopTheChamber.com. Your support is appreciated. Okay, Des, in the final throes here of the Copenhagen conference, where are we now?
Well, President Obama arrives in Copenhagen on Friday for the last day of the historic UN Climate Change Conference, joining other world leaders in a marathon session in hopes of hammering out a final agreement to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But the talks remain deadlocked over the deep divide between developed and developing nations, over emissions cuts, reporting requirements, and financial aid for poor nations. The Danish organizers had hoped for a comprehensive framework that it would at least lead to a legally binding treaty later, but the deadlock has led some to question whether a partial agreement or even any agreement can be achieved at all.
You know, if a few senators can't get health care done after months and months and months of negotiating, I'm not sure why anybody thinks that hundreds of countries can come to an accord in just 2 weeks in Copenhagen. It would be pretty incredible, frankly, if they came out with anything from this conference as I see it.
And that's kind of how things look right now. Violence erupted outside the conference center on Wednesday. Protesters shouted, "We are peaceful, what about you?" as Danish police arrested over 200 people after conference officials drastically reduced the number of attendees allowed inside the conference center, denying access to thousands of non-governmental organizations and much of the press at a time when final agreements will be made. Among the major disagreements are emissions targets for rich nations. U.S. negotiators have rejected calls at the conference for deeper cuts than already proposed in Congress. China is rejecting any provision that would require them to submit to independent international audits. U.S. negotiators say China's commitment is necessary to get the U.S. climate legislation passed. Developing nations and low-lying island nations will bear the brunt of climate change and sea level rise, but their pleas for greater cuts were rejected. Here's the impassioned speech from Ian Fry, environmental minister of the tiny island nation of Tuvalu.
It's an irony of the modern world that the fate of the world is being determined by some senators in the U.S. Congress. I woke this morning and I was crying, and that's not easy for a grown man to admit. The fate of my country rests in your hands. Thank you.
A moving speech, and his island nation is disappearing if the oceans continue to rise and if no action is taken here.
Meanwhile, Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, the Republican who contends global warming science is a hoax, has dropped in on the conference apparently for just 2 hours to talk to reporters.
Oh, great.
To say, quote, he's making sure that no one is laboring under the misconception that the U.S. Senate is going to do anything. We should also...
Is there any question about that?
We should also note that the international community considers the science settled. As The Economist notes, there are no skeptics on the science in China, even though China would have the most to gain from casting doubt on the science. Some progress has been made in the talks. Rich nations have committed $30 billion in short-term international aid to poor nations over 3 years, but future assistance in the long term remains in doubt. So, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton proposed to the conference a climate aid fund
to address the climate change needs of developing countries.
The fund would raise $100 billion a year by 2020 to help poor nations adapt, but would be contingent upon an agreement being signed that the U.S. agreed with. Another bright spot is deforestation, which was excluded from the Kyoto Protocols. It looks like an agreement will be reached to help poor nations reduce deforestation, a potent source of greenhouse gases, with economic assistance that would essentially pay them to not cut down their trees, because right now, those trees are worth more dead than alive. And speaking of trees, which is greener, a real Christmas tree or a fake one? It would seem intuitive that a fake tree would be better, but that may not actually be the case. One environmental group says that real trees may actually be better. They say that fake trees are probably worse because they're essentially plastic, require lots of toxic chemicals in manufacturing, and since most are shipped from China, they're likely to have higher emissions footprints than real trees.
Read about that and more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Follow us on Twitter. Download us on iTunes. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your, never fake, Green News Report.
Wonderful, wonderful, golden heart and friendly old girl.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, there is some good news coming out of Copenhagen. Not much, but some. Among other things, the clean coal industry has been shut out of any global emissions trading scheme. thus far in the in the negotiations. The clean coal was promoted by, of all people, well, not okay, by the UK, the US, and Australia. Not surprising. But they had a fourth in there just to round things out. Saudi Arabia, our buddies, are for clean coal technology being included in emissions trading schemes as well. But no, that was shut out, and that's a good thing. So, you know, hot diggity. Also, before I do go back to the phones, from the mailbag, this coming in from our buddy Brandon in Brooklyn. He says, I sent this email to Majority Leader Harry Reid this afternoon. It's the least I can do. I heard Senator Tom Harkin on the Randy Rhodes show today, and I tell you, I hear a lot of tap dancing going on. Weeks ago, it was, the bill will have a strong public option. 2 weeks ago, the bill will be better with a Medicare buy-in provision in exchange for a public option. Today, that's still a good bill with a lot of good reforms in it. How many compromises can a liberal take before one says enough? Anyway, here's the email I sent. Will it help? Who knows? Dear Leader Reid, I'm not happy with the Senate's health reform bill. It does not have a public option or a Medicare buy-in provision. The House's health reform bill is far better because it has a public option. Our only hope of getting a health reform bill that Americans can be happy with is when the two bills come together in the conference committee. Sir, I respectfully request that you please consider the following senators to sit on the conference committee. Senator Tom Harkin, Senator Sherrod Brown, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Jay Rockefeller, Senator Chris Dodd, and Senator Bernie Sanders. I also respectfully request, Leader Reid, that you do not appoint the following senators to the conference committee. Senator Ben Nelson, Senator Max Baucus, Senator Mary Landrieu, Senator Blanche Lincoln, Senator Evan Bayh, and especially Senator Joe Lieberman. Thank you for your time, Brandon. Beautiful. You know, that's results-based advocacy. I mean, that's real world. That's concrete. Because if Ben Nelson or any of those other mugwumps that Brandon mentioned get in there, into that conference committee, forget about it. Ain't going to happen. Done for. So let's go to the phones and see what's shaking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hey, Bob.
Hey, Reverbo, what's up?
Oh, I don't know. It's been kind of a dull week. There really hasn't been much to talk about. You know?
Nah, it's kind of sleepy around here, too. I know what you mean. Deadly dull.
I would remind Susan that how tempting it is to think, you know, Brad Lieberman, well, he better be worried about the next election. And then Harry Reid, you know, well, things are pretty tight, I don't know. And you forget, it's so easy to forget that it, not only doesn't it matter how you or I feel about anything, but it only matters a tiny bit more how the politicians feel about anything, whether they're worried or happy. It only matters if their pimps are worried or happy.
Ooh, right across the bow, yes.
That makes no difference. Now, of course, it gets a little dicey. Of course, I'm sure that the powers that be would have, you know, wished they didn't have to just rely on, you know, it wasn't so tight that you'd have to rely on a stooge like Lieberman to get things done. They wish it was more of a slam dunk, you know. But these are minor annoyances, and maybe next time it'll be, you know, be a lot easier to do. But not, it doesn't make any damn difference what Harry Reid thinks, does it?
Not much.
No. Because remember, we, in 10,000 years, have simply become one collective whore to a handful of, now how's this one, Pluto pimps.
Ooh. Ooh.
But it's too hard to say. You know, it's easier to say.
Well, and it sounds kind of Disney-esque, too.
Yeah, but pimpocrats doesn't sound Disney-esque, does it?
No, not at all.
Oh.
Or a pimparky?
I love it. I think we'd get a bell for that one.
Oh, very nice.
A pimpocrats. God, I wish I was one of those pimpocrats, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, and you know, they dress so much better than the ordinary variety.
Oh, man. I, What else did they is getting put? Oh, on the back burner also, you know, with all this other excitement, we sort of forget this. I read that they're kind of backtracking on the whole getting cheaper drugs from outside the country.
Yeah, not so much anymore.
No, not really. You know why, Bob? Because suddenly the corporations are concerned with our safety.
God bless them for it.
They don't want to risk, you know, importing. You know, all those millions of Canadians that are just dying like flies from those, you know, unsafe drugs that they get up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say these things with a straight face. They're concerned with our health and safety. So, you know, you get what you pay for. You know, that $9 Tylenol is so much safer than the 10-cent one.
Yeah, right, the stuff that you'd buy down at the local, you know, Walgreens or whatever.
Yeah, you need the one that has the big markup, because it's marked up for your safety.
Yes, right, exactly. Because it's being hand delivered by a certified nursing assistant.
Right, and it's okay.
Never mind the fact, mind you, that Tylenol is toxic as hell. But you know, maybe that's why. Maybe that's part of the cost build in. You know, the liver treatment. You know, I don't take this stuff. It's awful.
It will show up on your. On the invoice, if you spend the night at the hospital, do it overnight, suddenly you will take a peek at your copay and take a peek at that bill, and you'll see that those Tylenols, you know how people used to joke about how that, you know, the Pentagon would buy a hammer for like $56.
Right.
And you could buy a hammer for $3.
Yeah, and there was the $900 toilet seat, you know, remember that?
Well, literally, a Tylenol is like $9 on that hospital bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, for your safety. So
because they care about us. Right.
Oh, yeah. Mitch McConnell, speaking of him, I listened to the radio yesterday. And I hear Mitch come on, and he says, and I wrote this down as pretty much of a quote, "Healthcare reform is a mistake of monumental proportions," said Mitch. "And the American people are telling us daily that they don't want it." And I thought, how Orwellian can you get there, Mitch? I mean, can you name me one advanced life form that doesn't want universal, affordable life support?
That would be no. And, you know, I've got the greatest hits from earlier today rerun on C-SPAN over my shoulder right now, Reverbo.
Oh, God.
And of course, there was much pontificating and single arm waving by bomber John McCain, and just seeing him and reading a couple of words off of his lips with the volume down, just about had my finger down my throat, because the very notion that piss poor excuse for a human being who has been on the public tit from the moment he was born was conceived on the public tit. The idea that he's got his and he's going to stomp on our fingers on the rungs below him, it's sickening. It's infuriating. His birth was paid for. His conception was paid for. Every time he ever had the sniffles as a child, it was paid for. Because, of course, he was a military dependent.
Yeah, he's a military brat. Yeah, he was born. I mean, no, all respect to the military, but yeah, he was born with the socialized medical care. You know, he showed up with that in his briefcase, right? That very first day. What is it to Panama John? What is it to him whether the people of the United States have that too? What fucking difference could it possibly make to him?
Well, it cuts down on the checks that he gets cut by the health insurance industry. I mean, Reverbo, this really is a fairly straightforward transaction. You know, you're the one that mentioned pimps earlier. The ultimate purely transactional moment.
Yeah.
And if the health insurance industry is in any wise threatened, it cuts down on the amount of money that he can therefore squeeze out of them. You know, it's like the little the little House debate on let's screw with Iran some more resolution from a couple of days ago that wound up being like 214-12 or 224-12 or something like that. You know, that was nothing more than a mousketeer roll call for AIPAC. Because everybody who voted yes, let's poke Iran with a sharp stick is going to get a happy little check and a happy little card. And every time that John McCain or Chinless Mitch or this batshit crazy guy Tom Coburn stands up and says, American people don't want no health care, they get a check. You know, we are at that season of the year, Reverbo, where you won't be able to turn on a certain channel on the TV box without seeing It's a Wonderful Life, right? Every time, teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
I'm waiting for the angel.
Yeah, I know. And I guess the modern equivalent of that is, whatever minister it is in Idiocracy, who says, brought to you by Carl's Jr. after every sentence. Why do you keep saying that? Because they pay me every time I do. That's the United States Senate. That's Max Baucus. That's John McCain. God only knows, that's Joe Lieberman. Every time they stand up for the health insurance industry, they get another little tick on their sheet. Well, that's another $1,500, or that's another $10,000, or that's another $500,000.
You know, that sounds darned illegal to me. That sounds fishy to you.
It only sounds illegal to you because if you did it, you'd be wearing orange with some little plastic shower shoes.
Speaking of that,
you know, just like the Afghan army wears.
But guess what? If you or I were wearing those stylish outfits, we would be provided with free health care.
Yep.
So our country provides free health care to murderers on death row.
We do.
But not just your neighbor, Jim and Helen, who have been working their whole lives.
Oh, not only do we provide health care to murderers on death row, if the murderer on death row gets grievously ill, we will heal him so we can later kill him.
So why don't we get a check for saying that?
Because we're part of the not a pimp class.
You're just confusing me here.
We're the ones that do the work on our backs, okay?
All I know is that you check out these huge. Actually, and this is so crazy how much money they have. They play both sides. They give just as much money to the Republicans as they do to the Democrats.
Oh, that's just bet hedging.
When you look at like what AT&T gives them, and what Pfizer gives them, and what Exxon gives them. Because that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who. Yeah, it's a little weird if, you know, you just made it under the filibuster number, but no big deal. We'll find somebody who. There's always somebody corruptible out, you know, 15 minutes after you leave. We bought them all off. This really sucks, he said as an understatement. Because, you know how we like to look at the big picture, and I try to come up with these big picture summaries. But when you really think about this one, I'm telling you, this is the epitome of fascism to me. Because, I mean, everyone's grown up around here. There's always been this covert, you know, fascist tendencies. It's been going on for at least since, you know, World War II. And everybody's sort of used to that. You know, everybody knows that there's backroom deals and there's stuff going on under the table, but you know, things can be good. You know, they always throw the taxpayers some bones and off. You know, there's times that we have, you know, years and years of, say, peace. You know, we're not killing anybody, at least as far as we know. And nobody's getting the carbine slapped in their hand and telling them to head off to Afghanistan or anything. So, but we know there's stuff goes on under the table, you know. But I'm telling you, this time, you couldn't, it's just so overt. I just can't believe it. It's just right in your face. Remember, we joke about how America is so great because since we require next to nothing, we tolerate almost everything.
Almost everything.
Isn't that great? What a country. So let's think
about... No, you can't use that, what a country. I think Yakov Smirnov has that, he's got that copyrighted. What a country!
I won't do that because we have the original here. So let's think about this. What do we require? And I was thinking, well, if you're a manager, still required, I think, to register for the Selective Service.
Yes.
I think you're required, if you do decide to own and drive an automobile, own and drive a motor vehicle, you are, the state requires you to have liability insurance.
Some states. Not all states.
Well, let's leave those southern states out of it. But they do not require us to have a car. Have cars, though, do they?
True.
So I was thinking that what they have just done now is required every American citizen to participate in a private market simply because we breathe.
Yes.
Just because we exist.
And frankly, I guess, for those who are looking for an analogy, Reverbo.
Talk about overt.
The best example is that car insurance. Now, we have mandatory auto insurance here in West Virginia. I'm sure you have it where you are.
Uh-huh.
They only enacted it a few years back in Alabama, and they almost had a revolution over it. I mean, they was always ready to kill. You're infringing on my freedom making me buy that there car insurance. You think I'm kidding. Brother, we're talking about Alabama, Stan, okay? But anyway, the best analogy is that if you get caught